When you hear about Islamic terrorism or acts of violence committed in the name of Islam, you also find many atheists and secularists saying, well, Christians have no right to say anything because the Christian faith is just as violent as any of these other religions. Well, while you may have the individual Christian who does something against Christianity, it's not inherent in the Christian faith. They'll argue saying, well, what about this gospel passage? And it's speaking of the one that we just heard where Jesus says that he did not come to establish peace but division. Well, Jesus did not tell us to pick up any swords or anything else and go around waging war. Yes, you will see that in the Old Testament. Yes, you will see that in the Quran. But as Jesus himself said, that is of the old covenant, the old way. You are not what you once were. There's a difference in human understanding of God with Christ. As Jesus said, I come as the personification, if you would, of the love of the Father. As St. John says, God is love, and those who love abide in God, and God abide in them. Christ also teaches us to love our neighbor, to love God and to love one another, do good to those who hurt us, to pray for those who persecute us, never to exchange injury for injury. That's the way of the gospel. We know that the Lord came to the aid of Jeremiah, whose preaching brought upon him rejection and ill treatment. And so it is for any Christian who wants to live the gospel. If we want to respond to the call of Jesus to live a life of holiness, to live a life of love of God, love of neighbor, to live our lives according to God's will, then by that you're going to have opposition, because people don't care for that. There are many people who just simply don't want their consciences bothered, and so what they try to do is to either silence Christians or to ridicule us, either way. We've experienced that, many of us, so many times. Maybe as a person who was not living the best of Christian lives, you go on retreat or on Crucio, and you decide, I need to make a change. What happens? Your family, friends say, huh, look at you now, the holy roly. Right? Or you have a young person, perhaps, who wants to enter the priesthood or religious life, and they have opposition from their family and friends and say very terrible things. All kinds of stuff like that. The world doesn't understand Christ because the world doesn't want to and would rather put up any kind of obstacle. And as I said, for those of us who take the gospel seriously, who understand that we're not perfect but are striving for that, we likewise must be expected to have some kind of misunderstanding and division from other people. That's bound to happen. However, in imitation of the Lord, we never become weary. We never become despondent or get depressed or anything like that. Don't worry about that. We're here to please God, not human beings. We never grow despondent. We never abandon that struggle to live and proclaim the truth. That's who we are. That's what we do. And we do this in charity. We have to press on. Press on with courage. Press on with courage that comes from faith, courage that comes from hope, courage that comes, as I said, from charity, from love. You know, Jesus speaks about establishing a fire upon the earth. Well, that fire, of course, is the great love that he has for us, that desire for our salvation, the love that he wants to purify us with. And we see fire being used throughout the sacred scriptures as a symbol of the love of God. Think about God leading the Israelites out of that darkness of slavery in Egypt to the promised land by a pillar of fire at night. It's a symbol of his love as he takes us out of slavery into freedom, out of sin into redemption. It's a love that works to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our minds, to cleanse our souls of all the sinfulness and impurities that we impose upon ourselves, that burden of sin, as we heard about in the letter to the Hebrews. Love, of course, is given to us by God, but at the same time, love grows and is ignited by constant contact with God. It grows cold when we distance ourselves from him. Stop praying. Stop going to Mass. Stop exercising the charity that Christ calls us to exercise with one another. That's when love begins to diminish, but it's ignited and inflamed by constant contact in prayer and sacraments with God. You think about the day of Pentecost, when the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit, who is the divine love of the Father and Son, was poured out upon the Blessed Virgin Mary and the apostles in what? In tongues of fire, to purify them, to enlighten them, to give them the fullness of wisdom and knowledge, enlivening their hearts and filling them with a burning love and zeal. To do what? To go and proclaim the gospel in its fullness, to live the gospel and to expand the church, to expand the kingdom of God. Again, as Jesus said, I came to cast a fire upon the earth, that burning fire of the love of God. Jesus himself becomes the ultimate expression of the Father's love. As John says, he gave us his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life, eternal salvation. And Jesus shows us the great depths of his love by laying down his life for our salvation. Ordinarily, on August 14th, we celebrate the feast day of St. Maximilian Kolbe, a Polish priest who in the 1940s had been arrested by the Nazis simply for proclaiming the gospel. St. Maximilian had a deep love for Christ, a deep love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was a Franciscan priest and established an apostolate in aiding devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Nazis hated this and hated him. So he gets arrested and he's thrown into prison in Auschwitz. One day, a prisoner escaped. And so to make restitution, people were taken out of their barracks, St. Maximilian among them, and one was going to be chosen to die in place of the one who had escaped. So they chose a Jewish man who broke down in tears because he had a wife and a family. St. Maximilian stepped up and he says, I will die in his place. Confused the Nazis. What do you mean? You're going to die in his place? Who are you? All he says is, I'm a priest. I'm a priest. It makes us think, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Today, he's a saint. Would we have that same love? Would we have that same courage to do something likewise? We know that God has never and never will cease to love us. God never has, God never will stop loving us. He has never ceased to help us. He has never ceased to protect us. He has never ceased to communicate with us. Even when we find ourselves ungrateful, even if we find ourselves in sin, he is still there calling us to conversion, calling us to redemption, calling us back, love in exchange for love. Now it's true, we've all felt this in our lives, that from time to time, God will certainly test us. His love will always be there, but sometimes he's going to take away the feeling of that love. You won't always know that it's there. You might feel quite the opposite. But he does this on purpose. He takes away the feeling of his love, allowing us to see and to feel our own weaknesses, our own deprivation, our limitations, our deficiencies. But he does that to have us searching harder and searching deeper, looking for him, depending on him and him alone, and loving him all the more. That's why he does those things. And so, my brothers and sisters, like Jeremiah, like St. Maximilian Kolbe, like the Blessed Virgin Mary, like all the saints, let us likewise love without limit him who loves us without limit. Let us love without limit him who loves us without limit. He has shown us mercy. He has shown us love. He is the God of mercy, of love and compassion. We are made in his image and likeness. If it causes division in the world, so be it, so long as we are united to Christ. Just think about that. Consider that and believe that. Consider, think about, and believe this. God loves me. Never forget that. Say it to yourself. God loves me. And this is the fundamental fact of my existence. Everything else pales in comparison.